that most of us are too busy for our own spiritual good. Most of us are too busy for our own spiritual good. We saw the example of Elijah. I won't go into all of it. But Elijah was this awesome prophet of God. He did this unbelievable things, and God used him miraculously. And he was so busy doing it that even in being used of God, he took his focus off of God. Initially, he took his focus off of God to see all the good things he was doing. That's a major mistake for preachers, by the way. Or Christian workers, they say, wow, look what I did. But when we take our focus off of God, we lose sight of the presence of God. F.B. Meyer said, the greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Unoffered prayer. And if you had a hard time in the last week or so, or perhaps it will be in the weeks ahead, of making time in your schedule for God, making time even just to thank God, like that grace. But let me challenge you for this holiday season. We're originally putting it back in the more ancient context, in this season of holy days. Because there are a lot of different things that you, when you say grace, just take a moment to listen for the voice of God, to be still and know that God is God. Do you hear the arrogance of the statement I made a little while ago of us seeking to make time for God? It's the place that we put our maker in. If I sense God is sort of helpful, I'll make time for him. If we reorientate that and seek for the maker and help us make our time worthwhile, to make our schedule to his glory. As we pray, Charles Wesley, at the one period of time, he said, I am so busy, I have so much to do. And he turned to some of his followers, some of the key leaders under him. And he said, I'm just so busy, I'm going to have to pray an extra hour today. George Mueller would say that time and time again in the saints of God. As I said that, some of you heard the little voice within. Oh, what is he about? How busy I am. But if it's in that taking of time, if we know where God is, and we invite his presence into us, some great saint said, right now is forever. Introduce ourselves in terms of time with God. We are invited, instead of thinking of all I've got to do and get done, we're invited to the stillness of eternity. And forever God is with us in the fullness of eternity. But forever God is with us in the fullness of eternity. Now Elijah, he got so busy and so proud, no doubt. Even when things turned bad, he he said, oh, only I am left. That he lost sight of the presence of God. Another great saint, someone along the way said, God is not so much concerned about what you do for him. He's not so concerned so much about what you do for him, but what you do with him. And Elijah got in the dynamic of the statement, and so did the fellow in Psalm 27. Any of you ever been on the Great Lakes when suddenly the weather changed? I've shared stories with you, my uncle, about how he was stuck in a hurricane. And all the turmoil just pulled his place. But the other thing he told me about the hurricane was that until that happened, he had no sense of what the eye of the storm was about. Because when it drew calm, he was very thankful to God and realized he had time to pray before the eye of the storm moved. In the stillness, especially in the storms of our life, we have the opportunity to move into the eye of the storm, and to know the peace of God and the power of that. Do you realize the difference that that makes as we behold God? We can either do that or be stressed out. And this may surprise you, but most people are not at their best under stress. Does that surprise you that most people are not at their best under stress? Have you ever had a spouse that was stressed out or a person in a relationship and they really let you have it? You so enjoyed it. Well, that's you than the person under stress. I can remember when I was a young pastor, doing new church development, which was very stressful. Ann used to say to the two kids, she said, give him a half an hour on his couch. And then go see him. And then you got to de-stress. Stress makes you believe that everything has to happen right now. Faith reassures that everything will happen in God's timing. And faith works when we have the presence of the God who is making our lives. It is that right now that the Garcia explodes, and the right now that counts forever. And as we do that, we get a holy sense of it. I'm not going to talk about Mandela, especially, but I will, at some time in the future. But one of the best things that ever happened to Mandela, and he would share it to you himself, was he was sent to prison for 30 years. Because it changed his perspective. The things of life assail us if we can come back, not to the eye of the storm, but the eye of God. And know the peace of God. It's the whole difference in the world and in the world to come. It's interesting, I was looking at some of the verses on calm or peace, where there's still a small voice. And there's a portion in Job where it says, he calms storm so that its waves are still. In the passage we were reading about, why could he still the storm to a whisper? And the waves of the sea were hushed. When we go into the presence of God, we have that which can make the divine difference. It can make the now difference. And C.S. Lewis said, I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me every time waking and sleeping. And it doesn't change God. The prayer doesn't change God. The prayer changes me. I spent 40 plus years with people in storms. Storms in the hospital, storms in their lives, storms in the courts of horrible things happening. But I've been in some of the emotional storms of a prison riot. I've been with people who everything came unglued. And it all comes back to that seeking of the presence of God. Now, the disciples, when that storm came up, did you? If you listen to that passage, it's very powerful. And it was on like a lake, so it's like on Lake Erie or one of them. Everything was sort of cool. You know, what a nice day to be on the water. And it swoops down on them. And left the crowd, and he was in the boat, and there were also other boats with him, and they decided to cross the lake, and the storm comes down, and the disciples have one huge advantage, a huge advantage. To Jesus. If not spiritually, at least geographically. Temporally, they're close to it, but they're in the same boat. Together, they're in the same boat. Now, the disciples don't have a lot of faith. If they were more mature in their faith, they would be asking God to pray for the people in the other boats. But it's very hard to have that kind of prayer when your boat is rocking. And they wake up Jesus, and they tell him of the storm, and they say, don't you care about us? Don't you care about us? The difference between them and those without the presence of God is that they're in the same boat with Jesus. And he speaks to the storm and he says, be still. Be still. Say, even the wind and the waves obey him. In the storm of our lives, what are the storms? What are the seasons? If we are with the Lord, if we're in the same boat, if we invite Christ to be part of the rough and tough of this world in the works adjustment for me? Because I bring an intelligence agent and I thought, bring it on, mister. And to ask someone who sought to go deeper, I realized that I could never hope to serve God if I didn't get the same boat. And I wasn't so dumb. Before I even commit to ministry, whenever the winds and the waves came on, I asked God to be in the boat. But in the stillness of our spirit, in our hearts that listen for God, in the listening is the awesomeness of His presence. In the listening, we have the chance to be still no matter what comes. Because the listening comes for being with God. Since when we're trying to be in His boat. And then what happens? I have made huge mistakes. I have failed my God. I have failed my people at different times in my life. I have been overwhelmed. So that I had almost no faith to face it. Alone. A time, a season. You guys can make your schedules. You guys can make it help you. As you say grace, take a time, a moment even, to listen for God. As you get up in the morning, take a moment and listen for God. As you go to bed, take a moment and listen for God. As you're stuck in traffic, people are honking your horns. I know you're tempted to do various and sundry things, many of which I've done. Take a moment and listen for God. And the God who comes to see will walk with you. He only seeks makes up the difference. Seek Him in the silence and He will